People from all over were lining up to catch a whiff of the pungent corpse flower, which smelled exactly like its namesake. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back in a moment to explore this in more detail than you'd probably like me to.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust.
The endangered corpse flower, nicknamed Putricia, is located in a greenhouse in Sydney, Australia. As it was blooming, over 20,000 people traveled to visit it, likening the plant's smell to the rotting contents of a slaughterhouse, and then for some reason doing TikTok dances in front of it. Hey, if that's how they want to spend their afternoon. Anyway, the corpse flower scent is certainly unique, but something tells me it won't be the inspiration for perfumes anytime soon, and it probably wouldn't make a very good gift for your sweetheart either. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, reminding you to protect your email from being read by AI.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hey there, it's good to be back. I've been traveling. I have not been live on the show for, it's been about a week. I planned to broadcast from the road, but it didn't work out. And I have some interesting experiences to recount and some amazing miracles that happened over Christmas as I was driving. So I had planned, for those of you who knew the plan for today, I had planned to have a special guest on the show who is unable to join me today, but that guest was a wonderful gentleman by the name of Carlo Constantino in Brockville, Ontario, Canada, from Brockville, Ontario, Canada. And you're probably like, why are you going to have that guy on? Well, let me tell you the story. He is unable to join me today, unfortunately, and I'd like us to include him in our prayers. I'll tell you exactly how to pray for him shortly. But he is in the hospital, or in the waiting room of the hospital, where a family member is undergoing some hospital things. So we need to be praying for Carlo. He was going to join me today, though, to tell the amazing story, because he has a part of the story that could contribute a little more, but I'll see if I can do the story justice and share Carlo's perspective as well. So let me back up. On last Sunday night, yeah, we took off from Michigan and drove through Canada to go to New Hampshire, where I have family out there. And people who used to listen to my show ages ago know that I used to broadcast from the Live Free or Die sovereign state of New Hampshire before moving to Michigan. So I still have family out there, lived there for many years. I actually wound up in New Hampshire after It's about an hour north where I lived, an hour north of Boston, Cambridge area where I went to grad school at Harvard. So that whole New England area is beautiful. Love it. Haven't been there, haven't lived there in a while, but I still have folks out there, and it's a wonderful place to drive out and visit. But from Michigan, if you picture, if you hold up your left hand and make a mitten, or see the where the only shape, the only state that you can actually just sort of hold your hand up and point and show people where you live. But I live right on the knuckle of your thumb on your left hand, on the outer portion of the knuckle of your left hand. And there is a river that runs all along that right-hand side of your thumb on the left hand. That is the St. Clair River. And on the other side of it is Canada. So if you got your left hand up there in the air, Canada is, we always think of Canada as being to the north, but Canada actually kind of swoops down to the right or to the east of Michigan and runs right along the edge of your thumb on the other side of that river. Anyway, long story short, if you want to drive from where I live to New Hampshire, you are going to either, you have one of two choices. You can either go under the Great Lakes, and that's about a 16-hour drive, or you can cross the bridge right there on the thumb there. You can cross to the other side of the thumb and go north above the Great Lakes and drive across Canada to get to New Hampshire, and that's more like 11, 12 hours. So you save a lot of time. For the most part, most states in the U.S. will not allow you to go into Canada unless you have an actual full-on passport. But in certain states that have a lot of commerce crossing between Canada and the U.S. or Mexico and the U.S., you can get a special form of driver's license that allows you to cross those borders. So it lets you cross into Canada, lets you cross into Mexico and into the Caribbean. And I happen to have one of those licenses. Now, that's a whole long story, real ID. I fought against it, RFID, all those fights. I'm not going to go there right now. We can do a whole show on that. I have strong opinions on it. And long story short, I decided that I'm picking my battles. And as long as I am not sinning against the Lord himself, that I'm saving my sacrifices for the time when the sacrifices really, I'll have to make them, because to do otherwise would be to disobey the Lord. So I don't believe it's disobeying him to get this kind of a license. Is it compromising my concerns for privacy? Oh yeah. Is it compromising my concerns for government overreach? Yes, it is. And will there be more further and more onerous government examples of overreach before we actually hit the point where we must, are required to say no? Yeah, there will be. There's going to be a lot more. It's going to get tougher and tougher and tighter and tighter. And we got to decide where to pick our battles. And some of us have picked our battles in different places. I have friends who will not fly in an airplane or go into a government building because they refuse to get a real ID. I have friends who, all sorts of things. I have friends who won't drive a car because they refuse to submit to the fingerprinting requirements in their state to get a driver's license. So everybody, we all pick our place. Some people say, I'm not going to have a smartphone. I did that for years, and it wound up costing me too much. It was costing my effectiveness. It was impacting my ability to do the things that the Lord needs me to do in the world. And so I said, well, it's probably not going to be good for me. And it hasn't been, as I've shared famously on this program in the past. I am just as much a slave to my phone as the next person. I've got to fight it left and right, tooth and nail. And just because the phone, by its very nature, it's sort of like, hey, I want you to, take this, inject this heroin in order to participate in society. Yeah, it's going to cost you. So all of these things, all these decisions we make, I think there is going to come a time, as we all know, as Christians, where we're going to have to say, absolutely not. And in fact, over my dead body, literally. And that will be a decision that we make that is a life or death decision that we will make for the Lord. But we're not there yet. So anyway, judge me if you will, after my many years fighting against Real ID. We had realnightmare.org. That's probably not there anymore, but that was our original. I mean, we did protests up in the state house, state capitol in Concord, New Hampshire. I was very much involved in that fight. So please don't think me a hypocrite, but I reached a point where I said, yeah, they're really serious about making me do that if I want to travel. So I need to travel. That's probably more important that I travel than that I just dig my heels in at this point and make this the line that I won't cross. So there is line, though. there's definitely a line I'm not going to cross. And I don't use AI, and I won't use AI. So that for me is probably my line in the sand that other people haven't drawn. But anyway, back to my story. So we decided, this is my adult kids and I, that we were going to drive the northern route because we would save time. And on top of that, we would be able to go through two cities in Canada that one of which I've never been to before, that's Toronto, and one of which, Montreal, I've only been to once briefly ages ago for a speaking engagement before the Privacy Commissioner's office up there. It was an international gathering of privacy commissioners that I spoke at, but that was years and years ago. So I really don't know Canada, even though I live a stone's throw. I can practically see it out the window I'm looking out of right now. So I live really, really close to Canada, but I don't go there very often. All right, so here we are. We're in my car. I have a 2022. I'm not going to go into all the details, but I have a 2022 SUV, and it's a nice car. It's a nice car. It has, I mean, it's not a fabulously amazing car, but it's a nice car. And it has a little twirler, like a little snow setting, you know, you can go snow, off-road. It's not a four-wheeler, but Econo and sport mode, I think. So I've got my little thing that I can, it's like a circle I can twirl. And so I put it on snow mode because we're driving into Canada and it starts to snow. I put on the snow mode and I'm driving along. I'm doing, you know, I don't know, 60, 65 up there on 401, and I'm heading east across 401 towards Toronto. Okay. So here I'm on the road, and it starts to snow more, and it's the kind of snow, how would I even describe this snow? It's really dry. It's like dry, and it is waving and weaving across the road. You ever seen that kind of snow? It's like, it doesn't really stick. It just kind of scoots, so it's scooting left and right, and it's blowing across the road. Well, I didn't know that kind of snow is actually really hard to drive in if you have really bad tires, which apparently I do, and didn't even realize it. So my car, I thought I had all-weather tires. I actually have summer tires on my car, which I didn't even know. And on top of that, my summer tires are, I got rid of them, let's just say it that way. They weren't bald, but they were getting pretty close to the end of their life. So I'm going to leave us in suspense as I am driving 65, 70 miles an hour, and my car is unable to stay on the road and starts moving left to right, and I think that I'm about to go off the road and into a pretty major ditch. All right, now that's where I'm going to leave you and tell you the power of prayer when I come back.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
For the mountains, my moon, and the hills disappear.
God is so good. I got to tell you how good God is. All right, so wait till you hear my story. Now, yesterday, I asked JD to rebroadcast the show that I had done on quantum prayer. And before I tell the rest of the story, for those of you who missed it, it's now aired a couple of times. So those of you who heard it are probably like, this again. But it bears repeating, and I'm going to repeat it in case anyone missed it. The quantum prayer phenomenon is becoming, it is certainly one of the arguments that quantum physicists are making for the way reality works on the basis of how subatomic particles, those are particles smaller than atoms, like electrons and quarks and those little guys, how they operate in a way that we have never before been able to see. The human, humanity has never even known there were such things as atoms, much less subatomic particles, but we're now able to actually see them, to experiment with them and do things with them and see how they operate. And what we have learned is that they operate on a completely different system in using rules that make no sense to us. In our classical physics reality, which is this 3D world that we live in, where there's gravity and time flows in one direction and distance, you know, you can't see something that's happening far away, you can only see all those sorts of things are what we call classical physics, and quantum physics operates very differently. So in a nutshell, what the quantum physicists are taking advantage of and building quantum computers based on is a phenomenon that is colloquially referred to as quantum weirdness and the observer effect. And what this says is that when you are observing any human, any consciousness, a person, a camera that will later be viewed by a person outside of time and space, it knows if a camera will later be viewed by a person or later be destroyed. It's wild. That observer effect, if there is a consciousness observing a phenomenon, the phenomenon will be markedly different than if no one observes it. And the Schrodinger's cat, and there's sort of two examples that I think make this a little clearer. Schrodinger's cat is the physicist, I can't remember his first name, Schrodinger, and he described a cat that's in a box, and the box has a 50% chance of killing the cat, and you do not know which it is done until you open the box. And when you open the box, you'll either see a dead cat or a living cat. The quantum phenomenon here is that during the period of time that it's in the box but you haven't looked yet, there is not a living or a dead cat. There is a mixture or a cloud or a fuzzy superposition of both living and not living cat in the box. And the minute you open the box and take a look, it quickly, instantaneously, before you're, you know, before you can even see it, it coalesces into one or the other reality. And we can see this also, probably the best way to understand this is if you have a coin flip and the coin is flipping in the air, heads, tails, heads, just flipping around, it's both simultaneously until it lands on the table and you look at it. So the prayer aspect of this is that reality itself may be operating on this same principle. So I gave the example last week or the week before of having found a lump in my remaining breast. I'm a breast cancer survivor, and that lump looks suspiciously like it might be a recurrence of cancer. And for a whole week before I could get in and get a sonogram and have it tested, I was in that coin spinning position of cancer, no cancer, living cat, dead cat. What, you know, heads, tails, what is going on in, what are they going to find? Is this cancer? Is it benign? And it was not until the technician put the sonogram instrument up to my breast and looked that the that it coalesced into one or the other of those states. And fortunately, and I believe as a result of a whole lot of prayer and fasting on my part, that it coalesced into a state of, drum roll, no cancer. So if this is the case, and we certainly know it is the case with things on the subatomic level, if this is the case on the macro level, that you and I are living in reality, which is becoming kind of increasingly a question of what is reality anyway. So it's no longer quite so simple to just take reality for granted as we're learning more and more about these phenomena. That means, potentially, that in the same way that my breast was both cancer and non-cancer at the same time, my situation with my tires, now I'll go back to being on the road on Highway 401 outside of Brockville, Ontario, Canada, and there's snow everywhere, and it's moving across the road, and my car starts moving, and I begin praying in my mind like crazy. Lord, stabilize my car, help me get back on the road, let me not crash, right? And there are trucks around, there's semis around, there's other cars. I mean, had I crashed, it would have been bad. Now, they're all fine. They've all got good tires. They don't have these summer tires that are going bald like me. And I finally, as soon as I prayed, I got control of the car, but I can't really steer. I can't really brake. I'm just easing up on the gas and praying and praying and praying, and my car starts slowing down, starts going straight, it's staying in the road, but I am really not attached to this road. And I'm doing maybe 15 miles an hour on a 70 mile an hour highway. Cars are zipping around me, whipping around me. I've got my blinkers on. I'm like, okay, so now my next prayer, because this quantum phenomenon is informing all like my day-to-day thoughts, prayers, and actions, really, since I've fully come to understand it. So my next prayer is, I've been on this freeway for a while. There's not a lot of exits here. I'm going, you know, miles between exits. And how far am I going to have to go at 15 miles an hour on this road? And even my 15 miles an hour was questionable. Now, I didn't want to pull over in the middle of this because there's nowhere to go. So I'm now praying, and my prayer now becomes, Lord, let there be an exit really soon. And sure enough, I'm praying with my eyes open. I'm not going to close my eyes going even 15 miles an hour in the snow. So sure enough, I come around a curve, and there's an exit right there, right in front of me. I go, okay, phew. All right, Lord, help me get off the exit. So I get off the exit. Now I say to my daughter, here we are. There's nothing around. I mean, there's not a gas station, not a mini mart, not a McDonald's. There's nothing. It's just nothing. And, you know, farmhouses, there's just nothing. And so I say to my daughter, I really hope there's some kind of a mechanic shop. And she looks on the phone. She goes, well, yeah, there's one a mile ahead. Right, so that's my first, like, whoa, what are the chances, right? So we managed to very carefully inch down the road and pull into this mechanic shop. Now, here's where this got amazing. And I got to tell you, and I want you to learn from this, because this changes your concept of prayer. It really will. It will change. Everybody I've talked to, everybody I know in my personal life, this is changing the way we pray. It is changing the way we understand reality. So I pull into this place. It's snowing. I leave my kids in the car. I go in, and, you know, it's just a little small place with, you know, two guys hanging out, drinking a cup of coffee there. And, you know, they've got the black grease on their hands. It's that kind of a mechanic shop. So I walk in and I say, hi there, I'm here from the States. I'm here from Michigan. And I have really bad tires. I noticed that do you sell tires here? They go, no. I say, well, can you help me? Because I got to get some new tires on my car. I'm not going anywhere. So the guy, super nice guy, he says, well, let me make a few phone calls for you. And I say, are there tire places around here? He goes, yeah, there's five tire places nearby, five tire places here in Brockville, or, you know, down the street from me or whatever. So I'm standing there, and he makes the first phone call, and he says, you know, I have a foreign car, which is not super popular in Michigan. I wasn't thinking about that when I got it. But anyway, this is American car country. But anyway, I have a foreign car. And he calls the first place, and they say, no, that's an unusual size. That's a weird tire. We don't carry that. So he calls the second place, same thing. Calls the third place, same thing. Calls the fourth place, same thing. Calls the fifth place, right? There's only five. And now he's telling me, you know, I could probably order it. It'd probably be here in, maybe 2 days. And, you know, you'd probably have to stay here in Brockville, Ontario, miss Christmas, et cetera. So he calls the fifth place. Now, here's where this gets super cool. So he calls the fifth place, and the guy he wants to speak to isn't there, and says they will call him right back. Okay, you're not available. I'll call you right back. So now we've gone through four out of five tire places. Nobody has it. It's a weird size, whatever. It's just not, he says, you're not likely to find this here. I get on my phone and I texted everybody I know, everybody in the chat room here, everybody in, you know, just my friend group and people who work on the radio show. And I texted everyone and I said, there is basically a coin flip going on right now. The coin flip is that this fifth place either will or will not have the snow tire that will fit my car in this unusual, weird size. They're either going to have it or they're not. And the chances, I'm thinking in my head, the chances are pretty strong that they're not going to have it. If four out of five didn't have it, why is this fifth one going to have it? Okay. So we wait probably 10, 15 minutes for this guy to call us back. And in the meantime, we are praying and we are praying and we are praying. Dear Lord, now here's how I pray. And this is how Jesus prayed. And I didn't even realize this until after I talked about it on my show. I'm like, oh, I'm praying like Jesus prayed. How cool is that? So the prayer that he said when he was about to be crucified is, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, if it be possible, please make it that I don't get crucified. Make it that I don't have to go through this suffering and be killed and be tortured in this way. Nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. Okay, now that's the way we're supposed to pray. That's the model, really, of prayer that we can see our Lord himself. He had something he wanted very badly, which was not to have to go to the cross, be tortured, have nails put through his hands and feet, and have to go down to hell for us and pay the price for all our sins. The appalling horribleness of that is just almost inconceivable, and he didn't want to have to do it. Nevertheless, okay, now here's the key. Nevertheless, I trust you, and I'm going to let you lead. So I'm asking you for my will. This is what I want. However, my will is going to bend to your will. If you want something other than that, then I surrender to you. I acquiesce to you. I submit to you. I bow before you, and I accept whatever it is that you will do, and accept that willingly. All right, so there's me. Father, if it be possible, let this place have my snow tire. Nevertheless, your will be done. Maybe you want me to stay in Brockville for 2 days. All right, I'll tell you the rest in a minute.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
Flowing like a gentle river, righteousness rolling over you like waves in the sea. Gentle river, righteousness rolling over you like waves in the sea.
Let me talk about peace for a minute. There is nothing that I have ever experienced that compares to the peace of that prayer. And I'll tell you why. When you pray, this is what I really want. However, if you want something different, I submit to that, because I would rather have you be in charge and do something other than what I think in my little tiny human, very minimal understanding of anything that I think is better. I would rather have you and your infinite understanding and your infinite goodness and your infinite protection and love of me. I would rather have you in charge, because whatever happens, if you're in charge, it's going to be okay. The peace of that is mind-blowing. even if, I mean, I've quoted this before, I think it's from Habakkuk. That's a different one. But anyway, yea, though thou slay me, I will trust in thee. I'll have to look up and figure out where that is and memorize that one. But though thou slay me, I will trust in thee. What does that mean? That means, Lord, even if it's supposed to be your will that I spend 2 days in Brockville, Ontario, or if it is your will that I drive off the road and this is the end of my little, you know, however many decades long stay here on this planet and in this plane, that's okay. Do you know what I'm talking about? The level of peace when I realize, when I actually can be submitted to the Lord in that way and trusting to that extent, that even if this car goes off the road and we jackknife with a semi and all three of us are obliterated, it will be okay. Now, that doesn't mean I'm like, yeah, bring it. Hey, make that. No, that's not what I want. I'm praying really hard. Lord, help keep my car on the road. Keep my kids and me safe. Get us off the road. Help us get the snow tires. Get where we're going on time. Help. But if it's my time, if that's your will, I'm not going to fight it. I am going to trust, and I'm going to have complete peace. Now, that doesn't mean if my car was going off the road and a semi was coming right at me, I wouldn't be screaming my head off and freaking out. But the peace, when you're in a situation where it is really important what the outcome is, or it's going to have a big impact on you, whether there was cancer in my breast or not cancer in my breast was going to change my future. And yet, as I fasted and prayed about it, there was a peace that said, all right, if this is cancer, you've got a plan. I don't know what that plan is. Maybe the plan is that all these years I've been sitting on the cancer cure that I experienced myself that has me alive. Maybe that will actually cause me to get it out to the world and other people will be saved, because nothing else seems to be making me do that. I'm so busy. Maybe that's your plan. I don't know. Whatever your plan is, I trust it. It's good. All right. So let me go back to this little mechanic shop in Brockville, Ontario. The fifth phone call, we're waiting for the fifth phone call to come back and tell us if they have these totally weird sized tires that nobody else has. Okay. The phone rings. We're all praying. I've got like, you know, 10 people praying. Phone rings. He picks up the phone, talks. I'm getting a little like, you know, what's going on? And finally, he puts down the phone and he looks over to me and he says, they have your tires. They're Bridgestone. They're the really expensive ones. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I know this is going to cost me a couple grand anyway. You can't just put four new tires on your weirdly sized tires on your car in the middle of nowhere and not have it cost you a lot of money. So I'm bracing myself. He goes, they just have one set. They're Bridgestones. They're like, I don't know, $500-$600 a piece. I'm already going a little gulp. And then he says, and get this. All right, now here's where God is just so amazing, right? So he says, but they're on consignment. And I said, what does that mean? He said, well, they were on an Audi. I don't have an Audi, but he goes, they were on an Audi. And the person who bought them wound up putting them on his car just very briefly and then sold the car and took the wheels off, the tires and the rims. You know, the rims are the metal thing inside the tires that have the lug nuts that go onto the axle of your car. So it's not just the tire and the rims. And when he sold the car, he took them off and he put them in this tire place for storage, and they're now up for consignment. And he says, so you can get all four of them for something like $900? I'm going, you're kidding me. He says, yep, they're your size. And I have asked Carlo, he's the gentleman who was going to be on the show with me today. I've asked Carlo to, just drive to this place only a couple miles away. And I'm thinking, oh, how am I going to drive there? He goes, drive over there. Here's the address. Put it in your GPS. Get over there to ask for Carlo. And he's got these four tires for you. And we can get them on your car and you can get back on the road. So I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. How awesome that we prayed. And the fifth coin flip, flipping through the air, landed on the side that I needed it to. And not only that, but they were affordable. And these tires at $900 were less than the cheapest snow tires I could have bought for my vehicle. And they wound up being the most expensive expensive ones that, you know, the highest quality ones I could have bought. So now my next thing is I'm like, how am I going to get to this other place? Because it's a couple miles away. It's not on a straight for you. It's on a winding road. And I'm stressed about, well, I get out there, the snow is stopped. And miraculously, there's nothing blowing on the road. And the roads are relatively clear. And I drive over there just cruising like nothing. I get there and I walk into this cool tire place called Tire Craft. If you're ever in that area, stop by and give them your business. Mark's Union Tire in Brockville, Ontario, Tire Craft. So I walk in, and there at the counter is Carlo, who has since become kind of a friend. He's a really cool guy. And I say, hi, I'm, you know, was sent here by such and so. Do you have these tires? He goes, yeah, I do. And while he's like pulling them up in inventory, doing it, I start telling him about quantum prayer. Now you can imagine, here's me in this tire place in the middle of snow and in the middle of winter, in the middle of who knows where I am. And I'm just talking to this guy about quantum prayer. And I'm saying, you know, you wouldn't believe what happened and the coin flip and the fifth place and you caught and you had it. All right. So he says, well, why don't you go check out the tires? And he points me to this other room. I walk back there and I find these four beautiful, brand new, spanking Bridgestone tires with the rims on them. And I come back and it's like $1,600, I think, for them and the rims, which is still pretty cheap. So considering you're getting $2,000 rims, I think $2,000 or $3,000 rims. Anyway, alloy, expensive, whatever. So I come back and he says, no, the rims won't fit your car. Okay, now here's the miracle part that even he saw was a miracle. He goes, the rims won't fit your car. The rims are, let me see if I've got this, 112. You guys who know tires will know what I'm talking about. I don't even know what these numbers are. But he goes, those rims are 112. Your car, just looked it up here on the computer, it's 114.3. And they won't fit. And I said, oh, bummer, because it would be nice to have this. He goes, yeah, it really would, because we're going to have to take all your tires off, put these tires on the rims, and then put them back up. And every time you want to swap, you got to get the tires off the rims, blah, blah, blah. If you have them on the rims, you can just pop them on there, put on the bolts, and it takes, you know, I don't know, 5 minutes. But if you have to pop the tires on and off of these rims, it takes a while. Okay, now here's the kicker. So I'm waiting. I'm having a cup of coffee. And he comes out. He goes back, you know, and goes out to my car is up on the lift, the jack or whatever, up in that air. And he comes back in with this look on his face and he goes, I totally believe you. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, I totally believe you about this quantum prayer. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I don't know how it happened. Don't know how it happened, but your car now measures 112, not 114.3. He goes, I checked it over and over. I put them on. They fit perfectly, without even a tiny gap. And right, basically, reality changed before this guy's very eyes. So that is the story I had to tell you, because I think that is the coolest thing ever. So he is now completely a believer. I gave him a copy of my children's book, I Won't Take the Mark, that he gave to his grandkids for Christmas. And if you want to get a copy of that, it will be at Amazon. I think we're out of copies right now, but we're sending them over, so it'll be there in about a week. If you want to get your own copy of I Won't Take the Mark. But he's looking at the book. He's like, this is incredible. This is amazing. And I believe you. He's kind of telling me, I kind of thought you were crazy. I kind of thought you were, you know, pulling my leg here with this weird quantum stuff. I didn't even know what to believe, but I've seen it for myself. I'm a believer. He said, I looked it up on the computer. They fit perfectly. He says, I'm going to quadruple check them. I'm going to make absolutely positive. I'm going to drive your car around the block. He comes back. He goes, I can't explain it, but they fit perfectly, perfectly. So here we go. And now get this. Okay. So he says, it was $1,600, but blah, 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 blah. I'm only going to charge you this. And I was like, $1,300. He hands me the little credit card thing. And I realize... That's Canadian. I got everything, like $2,000-$3,000 worth of brand new alloy rims, four $600 Bridgestone tires. I got it all for $1,000. $1,000, $1,030, I think. So that's God. I went from almost driving off the road to driving away with something I never, ever would have purchased. I'm not going to buy $600 Bridgestone tires. I'm not going to buy all new alloy rims from an Audi that was, I'm not going to do any of that. I would have gotten the cheapest of the cheap. And I would have, anyway, it's amazing. So that's what God does when you pray. That's what he does. It's incredible and it works. So start using it. Quantum. It works. Be right back.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to americasfreedomnetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
I am the Lord who opened the way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I am the Lord who opened the way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I am the Lord who opened the way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I am the Lord who opened the way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. Forget all that. Forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm gonna do. For I'm about to do something new. It's nothing compared to what I'm gonna do. For I'm about to do something new.
Oh, I see it already. I see it all right. Yes. And that's what the Lord does. When we think about prayer, changing things, working miracles, doing astonishing things. I've told the story how my kids and I prayed when the water from the river was rising across my street and up my yard and coming into my driveway and about to enter my garage. And we put our toes on that line at the garage right at the water and prayed. We opened our eyes and watched it recede. Watched it just change direction. It was coming up, and it just turned around and started going back. That is what prayer does. And our Lord said, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard, a mustard seed, tiny little seed, you can move a mountain. You can say to this mountain, be moved, and it will move. It is true. It is true, because this reality around us, we think it is immutable. We think it is obeying all of the classical laws of physics, and things don't just move. But this reality is 99.99% emptiness. The things you see are really just vibrating energy that is coalesced into the form of stuff. That's incredible. That's amazing. And what that means, if 99% of you is just empty space with energy making up the atoms and cells of your body, how... It's not impossible, let us just say. In fact, highly likely, given that that stuff that makes up you and the matter around you is all comprised of subatomic particles that are all just energy coalesced into stuff, that stuff, if it changes on the subatomic level, when you pay attention to it, think about it, observe it, and are present, then why would that not happen on the level where you have lots of subatomic things making up larger things? So it really does. It does work. And the thing about prayer, I truly believe that you must pray in the way that I've just kind of astonishingly been praying, just like Jesus. Like I said, it wasn't until after the show. I was like, wait a minute. That's how I've been doing that automatically. That's the Holy Spirit. That's not any kind of insight of me. That's the Holy Spirit in me telling me how to pray, teaching me how to pray. I don't need that anyone teach me. The Holy Spirit has taught me. That's in the Bible as well. So trust. As things get harder and harder, it's going to become more and more important to be conscious about your faith. Conscious in a way that Laura and Mary Ingalls in Little House on the Prairie didn't really have to be quite as conscious, because they didn't have so many things assaulting them from every side, so much demonic darkness, so much horror and awfulness assaulting them. They had to be conscious of, I don't know, snakes and scarlet fever and other things, so I'm sure they were praying as well. But the degree to which we have to pray is really big. And I've said this a couple times in the last few days that I've been on the show, because I really have been thinking about it. The Bible tells us in the last days, knowledge will be greatly increased. And that doesn't just mean scientific knowledge and technology and all that. It means our knowledge of how to navigate the spiritual world, how to stay connected to God as He pours out His Spirit in these dark times when it's going to get harder and harder to stay connected. So there's a reason why we're learning these things. There's a reason why we're being shown these things, because we really need them. We really need them. If you don't believe, if you can't tap into the power of prayer, the power of trust, the power of God, the power of trusting God through prayer, the power, if you can't tap into that confidence and that security and that safety, then as things get harder and uglier and weirder, you are going to really struggle. You're not going to just be able to la 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 do your everyday regular thing and think you're going to be able to get through this. You won't. But this is why God is pouring out His Spirit and pouring out the knowledge. It's being greatly increased. And I am very blessed to be one of an army of people who the Lord is using to share the knowledge and have it disseminated and be greatly increased. And by the way, now that you've heard this, you are going to be part of that army as well as He pours out His Spirit. He's not going to appear to us with an angel in the middle of our, you know, bedroom. He might, but probably won't, and say to you, guess what? I want you to pray because here's how it works. He's going to use His body. He's going to use us. He's going to use people. It's such a blessing that I can come on this show and say, Lord, I don't even know what I'm going to talk about today, but You guide and lead. You show me. And He does. So I go to my church on Sunday, and Pastor Anthony's there, and he preaches on just the thing I needed to hear, literally the thing. And I'm like, how did he do that? And the answer is God. Pastor Anthony probably sat down and said, I'm going to do a sermon on this or that. And God said, you know what? Here's a little inspiration. Do a sermon on this. And then I go to church on Sunday, and the sermon is just the sermon. That's not because Pastor Anthony is reading my mind. That's not because Pastor Anthony, I mean, he's a brilliant guy, but he's very faithful to the Lord, and the Lord uses him to communicate what we, the people in the church, need to hear to remain strengthened and have a wall around ourselves of safety and knowledge, because my people perish for lack of knowledge. So this is knowledge, folks. Grab a hold of it. It's wonderful knowledge. It's beautiful knowledge. Like, compare this to AI knowledge. AI knowledge leads to psychosis and divorce and misery and mistakes and suicide and homicide. That's knowledge, I guess. Yuck. Stick to the good knowledge. Get away from that dark knowledge. You don't need it. You don't even ask for its gift. Seek the real knowledge and you will get it. Knock and it'll be answered. Ask and it will be given to you. You will get the answers if you seek them. All right. I've got a message here. I have a couple of texts coming in. Hang on. Let me see if I can get to them. Maybe. Hang on. I got to switch my little thingy here. There we go. All right. Wow, Catherine, very cool story. Isn't that cool? And, oh, I got to tell you the other part. So now I'm in New Hampshire, and I got to drive back through all the way through Montreal. By the way, Montreal, one of the greatest cities I've ever been to in my life. I love it. It's probably my top five cities in the whole world. Love it, love it. I could do a whole show in Montreal. It was fabulous. But so we spent 2 nights in Montreal, one going there and one coming back. But now we're leaving Montreal, and I got to get back to New Hampshire. I got to get back to Michigan. So, and I'm looking at the weather, and the weather is saying all this horrible stuff. Like, it's going to be really bad. Can I even make it, even in my good tires? So, you know what I prayed? I love this. So, I prayed, Lord, I need to get home, and I would really like to be able to get home without full-on snowstorms, blinding blizzards getting me home, because I won't get home, right? So, I'm praying. And do you know what he did for me? For 8 hours, the temperature was 33 degrees Fahrenheit. For those of you in doing centigrade or Celsius or whatever, 33 degrees Fahrenheit is 1 degree above freezing. It was raining, and it was raining. It was not snowing. It was not blizzarding. The amount of rain we had in Montreal would have been enough that had it been snow, we would have been grounded. They would have shut down all the roads. It was bad. It was a lot of rain. And I was okay. The whole way, I'm watching my temperature gauge, and it's 33. We go up over hills, 33. We go up high, we go down low, 33. I'm like, this is so cool, Lord. And at one point, I was like, you know, Lord, this is getting hard because I'm white-knuckling it through the rain. And I said, either, Lord, could you please, and I'm praying all the time now. I don't know if you're getting that sense, but I pray all the time now about everything. And so I'm like, Lord, could you either reduce this amount of rain or strengthen my body so that it's not having such a white knuckle stress impact on me? One or the other, if it be your will. And he did. The rain let up and I felt a whole lot more relaxed and I just kept driving. So yeah. Like, even there, I'm like, Lord, I've got to get home. It's a 12-hour drive. I've only got a day and a half to do it. Please let it not be a blizzard, because then I won't make it back. And I made it back. It was so great. He's so wonderful. All right. Hang on. One more text. All right. Catherine, thank you. Wonderful information. Love it. Thank you. Can't tell who it's from, but 970 area code. Thank you. I'm really glad. I really was looking forward to doing this show. I was looking forward to getting Carlo on, because this guy, he's not a guy who would be all woo-woo, you know, incense, tie-dye. This is a guy in his, I don't know, probably 60s. He's a tire guy. He manages a tire shop. And even he was saying, you got me. I believe you. I watched it. It's a miracle. Wow, this quantum stuff really works. So hopefully he's praying too. He's in the hospital and I'm praying, and we should all be praying for his granddaughter. All right. I'll see you guys on Monday. Yeah, I'll see you Monday, because maybe Friday, but probably Monday, because it's New Year's. Happy New Year's. All right. See you then. Bye.